Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to our post-NLCS Bridge to the World Series Blitzed podcast. Oh, that's right. This is a football podcast, not a baseball podcast. Well, Harley, color me whatever you want to color me, but color me Red October because my Phillies are in the World Series.
You got to love it. Personally, as a resident of Minnesota, the Twins had an epic fail in the month of September and didn't make it to the postseason, Seeding the way to the Cleveland Guardians. I really don't like calling them that, but that is officially their name. So the Guardians made it to the postseason. Obviously, they were beaten. And then, of course, we all like to see the team from New York, the Yankees, get knocked out. Other big spending teams like the San Diego Padres and the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers all got knocked out. So it's kind of nice to see a team like Philly make it. They certainly aren't cheap in the spending realm, but compared to some of these other teams, they very much are.
And you know, they had like a record of, I think, 22-29 going into June. And after they fired Girardi and replaced him with Thompson, a lot of people don't realize this. They wound up having, I believe, the third best record in baseball over that time span. So,
and I think across the country too. I mean, we aren't that far removed from the Astros scandals. So,
sure, correct.
I have to assume that the Phillies are going to be America's team in this World Series.
That's what it sounds like, and I'm all for it, quite honestly. There's room on the train. Everybody can come get on. They are. They're going to be underdogs, but they're not as much of an underdog as I think people would expect. They got swept by the Astros in September, the last time they saw them, when the Phillies did. They limped. They truly limped into the playoffs. Milwaukee pretty much self-imploded to help that happen too. It was like neither team wanted to take it, but hey, once you get into a dance, you know anything can happen. So right now we're living on borrowed time, and I guess at some point we got to switch it over to football, so let's do that. The Eagles are 6-0 too, and they had a bye. They didn't lose this week, so that's a great thing for Philly also. Anyway, this week's show will cover, we're going to look to next season, because sometimes, you know what, you're not lucky enough to be the guy that can get in the dance and play. And in fantasy football, you need to make that determination early enough so you can build your dynasty teams for going forward. So we're going to have a segment on that. We're going to have a segment on, of course, our DFS picks, pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays. But before any of that has to happen, or can happen, we've got to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. The Chargers appear to be playing musical wide receivers, as now that Keenan Allen is back, Mike Williams appears to be out for as many as 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. For crying out loud, so much for my prediction that Justin Herbert was going to win MVP this year. Ah, screw it. At this point, I'm officially changing my MVP pick to Austin Eckler, since it appears he's going to end up with like 750 targets at this pace. In that same game, Seattle also lost their top wide receiver as DK Metcalf suffered a patella injury to his knee. Early reports are that he won't need surgery, but he will likely miss more than 1 month's time. Following the injury, his replacement, Marquise Goodwin, scored 2 touchdowns. So, we now have Geno Smith throwing touchdowns to Marquise Goodwin, while Keenan Allen steps into a potential huge role for the Chargers. Somewhere my 2013 dynasty teams are all celebrating today. Breece Hall left Sunday's game with a season-ending ACL injury. To replace him, New York will turn to recently acquired James Robinson, and hold over Michael Carter. For those unfamiliar with James Robinson and Michael Carter, they combined are what you get when you order Breece Hall from Wish.com. Several news sites are running with the concept that Giselle may have left Tom Brady because of texts he was exchanging with Ron DeSantis. Meanwhile, we here at the Blitz Podcast News do not run with unsubstantiated rumors such as this. In fact, our venerable news team will be ignoring this investigation entirely, and we will instead investigate the much more realistic possibility of Tom leaving Giselle over texts she exchanged with Zach Wilson. And finally, Christian McCaffrey was traded to the 49ers for a pile of draft picks, and then Carolina went out and clobbered Tampa Bay and the GOAT Tom Brady. This leads me to wonder what sort of massive victory Carolina will have after they finally trade DJ Moore. This has been your BPN News Update.
Crazy, man. Some teams can't even tank properly, right?
Exactly. So, and considering their schedule, they might win the next couple, three games too.
So what I was thinking was, since, you know, last week I missed the injury to, you know, Randall Cobb, and I missed a lot of football yesterday because of the Phillies game.
Yes.
And I don't regret it at all. I think we possibly should just cancel the show this week because everybody got injured, it sounds like, so that way I don't have to worry about screwing anything up.
It is crazy. And again, I mean, we're getting news on the fly here, too. I mean, obviously, the news of James Robinson, we do record this on Monday night, literally was just reported on ESPN about 5 minutes ago. So if for our listeners who may be hacking into the news feed right now, you might be hearing this for the first time, but if not, obviously you'll have heard this on the national news before this podcast is released in the next day or two.
Yes, thanks for pointing that out. And thank you for toughing it out, actually, because, you know, not all injuries put us on the sideline for good, but we have to fight through them, and you're fighting through being sick right now. So I'm sure that...
Exactly. I'm officially questionable for this coming week with a non-COVID-related illness. And it had me down a little bit this weekend, which was kind of sad because this was also my anniversary weekend. So my wife and I got a chance to go away for a short day trip and had a few drinks and stuff. But the body is definitely regretting not staying home and sleeping probably 30 hours this weekend. Of course, considering how ugly some of the games were this past weekend, my eyes are probably regretting that some too.
So, I can see that. Trust me, I understand that. I have a question for you. Week nine, Thursday night game, Philadelphia plays at Houston. That entire week is also World Series week where Philadelphia and Houston are facing off. So every day of the week, it seems like we're going to have Philly-Houston one way or another, baseball or football next week. And the Philly-Houston football game happens to take part on a off day for the two baseball teams. Pretty crazy, actually.
Well, I like to think that as close as the World Series is going to be, the Eagles should have very little trouble beating the Texans.
Exactly. But that leads us to, let's get into this buy piece, however you want to call it. Because the Texans remind me of the Jaguars for some reason. And the Jaguars were sellers of James Robinson. That's partially because they have ATN that's been doing well. And the Jets were buyers because they think they can make a run. They just lost Breece Hall. And compensation doesn't seem like it's too bad. It's a sixth that could turn into a fifth.
Exactly. And I mean, there wasn't a lot of equity thrown into James Robinson by the Jaguars, so
sure. Yep,
they're gaining a little something still on that.
So go ahead. You lead. I'll be the one that gives my point of view and opinions. How's that?
Okay. Well, the basics for this is that you are in a Superflex Dynasty League, so you can keep these players as long as you want, and every year there's a rookie draft, but it is Superflex, so there are two quarterbacks that you often will be tempted to start. It's not required that you start a second quarterback, but it's likely that most teams will. So those are the specifics of the league format, PPR.
Smart of you to do that, because otherwise you know I wouldn't give two shakes for a quarterback. So go ahead.
Exactly. So your team is a team that has already decided that you have no chance for this season, and you are looking at buying and selling these players from a dynasty perspective for your future.
How many teams in the league? 12?
12 teams, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to name a player, and first we're going to go with players that you might want to buy. And I'm going to see what is the most you as a buying team would give for these players.
I'm going to ask you one more question before you do this.
Go for it.
My team is bad. Do I have my own draft picks for the rookie draft?
Yes.
Am I looking at I'm going to be top three worst in the league?
More than likely, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, the first player I'm going to bring up is the player who was just lost for the season, Breece Hall.
Okay, I am probably... Okay, we're going to have to assume that he's on a contender of some sort.
Yes.
Same injury that Saquon Barkley had, long road back. Saquon's got a couple years on him, not much. But 2 years post-injury, Saquon's looking all world again, right?
Yes.
If my team is that bad, I would probably try to see if I could trade a second-round pick. Although, you know what? I'm not going to be able to trade a second-round pick. I'm going to have to trade a running back. I'm going to have to trade a player because that team's going to want something, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to trade a mid-level player like a James Robinson, who might work if you have him. I would trade any top 15 to 24 back that's over the age of 24. How's that? 24, 25 for Breece.
Okay. Let's look at another injured running back, and that is Javonte Williams.
Same deal. Here's what I like about Javonte Williams. I think he's going to have a new head coach when he finally comes back. And I think that coach is going to have to find a way to make him the bell cow of a sense. But again, you've got to worry about that injury. Here's the thing. If you're that bad, if you're bottom three in your league now, you don't usually turn it around in year one anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
By trading for a player that may or may not be full bore next year, you're actually helping yourself if you're willing to know that you're going to be struggling and still rebuilding for another year. So I'd probably give up the same thing. I'd give up, you know, any running back that's in the top 15 to 24-ish, that's, you know, 26-ish, 27 years old, that can help a team possibly.
Maybe an Ezekiel Elliott type?
Definitely give up a Ezekiel Elliott type. I may even trade a couple wide receivers, lower end wide receivers that, you know, are, you know, wide receiver, you know, three type guys or something like that don't look like they're really going to have much upside for the future, but would help somebody win now. I absolutely would do that. And then if you have an IR, you get to stash them. If you don't have an IR, then you know that you're going to be hamstrung a little bit, and that's just going to help your draft picks for the following year too.
Well, we talked about a super flex rookie probably pick 101 this past season in Breece Hall. How about the consensus top running back from last season, Najee Harris, who is certainly not injured, but is definitely on a downward trajectory in terms of his performance.
So this is going to be a tough one for me because I'm probably one of the few people that was not high on the Pittsburgh offense in general this year and or even for the future. I don't know that Kenny Pickett's the answer. I think that team's going to actually finally be a team that is not a contender, you know, year in after year out. There's going to be a few years for them to rebuild. And no matter how much you want to feed a guy, script matters in fantasy football. And I just don't know how many leads that they're going to have where they can involve him. And I'm not buying Najee Harris at the premium that it probably takes to buy him. Now, if you can buy him at a discount by giving up, let's say, James Robinson and another wide receiver. Pick a wide receiver three that's having a good year that you may want to throw in there. Every name's escaping me right now.
Samuel.
His last couple weeks have been in. Mm-hmm. How about Jacoby
Christian
Myers?
Kirk. Yeah.
Christian Kirk, Jacoby Myers, something like that.
Yep.
You know, it's always easier to replace a wide receiver like that. Then maybe I would try it. But more than likely, that owner's just going to say, I can't, because they're remembering what he was. They're living in the past. So I'm probably not a buyer on Najee Harris.
Well, it's interesting you talk about wide receivers, so let's bring up a couple of wide receivers. First, a couple that have underperformed a little bit or who may underperform the rest of the year, and that's Darnell Mooney, who we're watching tonight on Monday Night Football, and Cortland Sutton, who is going to be without his quarterback for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and the backup quarterback there, Brett Rypien, seemed to target Jerry Jeudy a lot more than Sutton.
So I like Sutton a lot, the player. Again, I think that's an easy target. You get him at a discount because the quarterback's out, because he's underperformed, because the team is underperformed. They've scored like 6 touchdowns or 7 touchdowns all season offensively. I mean, come on. It doesn't get much worse than that. And people tend to disassociate what a player has ability-wise from their performance and realize that it is tied to something else, right? So
yeah.
For me, yeah, I would definitely buy Cortland Sutton. I'd give up a second or a third round pick. I'd try a third if I had to. I'd push it to a second or try a third and a fourth or something like that. And if I had to give up, you know, a wide receiver that I don't think is going to be there or that's just, I don't know, I wouldn't give up a Christian Kirk type or something like that because they paid a lot of money. I think we'll see him improve. I would try for a draft pick trade to get Cortland Sutton. I think you actually could do it. Because then what you do is you tell that person, look, I really don't have anybody else I can send to you that'll help you now, but you know you can use my draft picks to turn it into another player from somebody else.
How about Mooney?
Well, Jalen Hurts did a lot with his legs last year, wasn't very impressive with his arm. He came around. Josh Allen, really, people I think forget, they have a short memory, they forget just how bad and then inaccurate he was initially when he came into the league, and look at him now. I'm not saying Justin Fields can do that, but, man, he just seems well behind the way both of those guys were, right? It just, they already have a new GM. You'd have to be able to buy him for pennies on the dollar, honestly. And you might be able to, but I wouldn't give Christian Kirk for him. How's that?
Well, considering that we just talked about Mooney, let's roll into the quarterback position. Now, there were 3 quarterbacks drafted in the last couple of years that are all young and have, for the most part, underperformed. Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence. You could also include in that conversation Trey Lance, who's injured right now. Again, this is a super flex format, so typically your quarterbacks will be taken in the first 5 or 6 picks of any rookie league draft. So would you consider still offering a first for any of these guys, maybe a 2024 first, or what would you give up for any of those 4 quarterbacks?
Even Superflex, I find it hard to give up a first. However, that said, I can see somebody that would possibly – I think it would take that to get Trevor Lawrence, okay?
Yeah.
It would not take that to get Justin Fields, I don't think. So if you could get Justin Fields for a third and or a second or a late second, if you have maybe somebody else's from another deal you did or something like that, I wouldn't give an early second. But the upside is worth it. And how many of your draft picks pan out anyway, if you think about it in those terms? Because if he pans out, then you do have a top 5 or 6 quarterback, fantasy-wise, right, because of the legs and everything else. I wouldn't try much, but I don't think it'd take much to get him. So I would probably try and throw a little bit lower ball offer out there and see what happens. As far as Trey Lance, it's tough because he broke his leg, right? Compound fracture. So it's not the knee per se. It's not a ligament or an ACL or an Achilles or anything like that. But with a guy that's reliant on his legs and as shifty as he is and all that kind of stuff, it has to make you wonder, right?
Well, also, you got to look at the fact that he really doesn't have a lot of football snaps in 2019.
Right. So, again, you get him for pennies on the dollar, I think you can do it, and it's worth a lottery ticket. But most people that have him at this point aren't relying on him, and they're probably sitting on him for the same reason. Unless you can try to be the guy that says, listen, I know you don't need Trey Lance, and I don't have anything that you can really use, but I'd like to take a gamble on him. And if I give you this kind of capital, you could probably turn this into X or Y from a player standpoint. And you kind of have to be the one that goes and looks and gets this guy his deal with somebody else to help push that deal along. But I don't think that you're getting Trey Lance for pennies on the dollar because he's probably situated where he's not necessary and they can just wait to see how he comes back, honestly.
Well, before we move on to the sell portion of this, let's look at one more potential buy. It's perhaps the elephant in the room at the tight end position is Kyle Pitts.
Every day and twice on Sunday, I buy Kyle Pitts because I'll pay fair market value for him. How's that?
I love it.
Because I don't think you're going to pay fair market value for him. People have short memories. You're not going to get him for pennies on dollars because people are going to say, he costs me too much and he's supposed to be a world-changing tight end and all this kind of stuff. Where you are going to make that deal is somebody that's contending that needs to be able to find a better tight end that they feel that they can use right now. Something's going to happen there coaching-wise, player-wise, whatever. But no, I absolutely am buying Kyle Pitts. You don't get a chance to buy a player like that often, so if you do, you take him.
See, I'm thinking myself probably offering a 2024 first and maybe like a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
An aging wide receiver one.
Yep, aging wide receiver one or a younger wide receiver two. A Devontae Smith type, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I would try Devontae in a second. That probably doesn't get it done. Maybe Devontae in a first and you ask for Pitts in a fourth back or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to deal with my top three pick in 2023, but if you can pull it off for the 2024 first,
yep.
I think that's definitely a buy for a team that is in the rebuilding process.
And you give them a chip that they can try to use to get something back at tight end. Because, again, if you're weak and you're that bad, you probably don't have anything that's going to help them, honestly.
Okay, well, let's roll over to the sell section.
Okay.
And we'll start at the tight end position there. What if you have one of the elder tight ends in the league that's very, very good, like a Travis Kelce or a Mark Andrews or even a George Kittle? If you were looking to sell any of those three, what's the lowest you would take for one of those three?
Am I a contender or am I a poor team right now? That's the question.
You're still a poor team.
Still a poor team.
You're a team that's now selling these players to try to accumulate assets for the future.
I would still want a first for each one of them. Sorry. If you're coming to me buying Kelce or Andrews, and I know Andrews just had a bad week, a really bad week, I still am asking for a first for it. Sorry. Because they're going to each help you win now, give you a distinct advantage. And in Dynasty, I know people want to look long-term, but each of those guys has a window that helps you be competitive for at least two seasons, this one and next one, probably three. You can't ask for anything much better than that, quite honestly.
Would the same go for Kittle? Would you be looking for a first for him?
I think Kittle's a slightly harder sell. I probably would still be looking for it. He's probably a slightly harder sell because of his health at times and because you don't know what's going to happen at quarterback there. And there's just been some inconsistencies. Tight end's bad, right? It really is. So why don't sell?
Yeah.
So don't sell just to sell. Even if Kittle isn't in that tier A, he's pretty daggone close. So yeah, if you can't get a first for him, I'm not selling him.
Would you take a 2024 first for them, or would you hold tight on a next season 2023 first?
I'm not opposed to taking future draft picks. However, I'm always going to look at a 2024 first as a second round 2023 value. Okay?
Exactly.
So I would probably ask if that's the case. I always try to pick up an extra third, fourth, or fifth, something somewhere along those lines. And then almost always in my drafts, I will look to move, say, that fourth or fifth round pick for an earlier round pick the year after. So I'll turn that fourth into a third for 2025.
Okay, now reminding our listeners that we are talking Superflex here, and obviously with the news today that Matt Ryan has effectually been benched for the rest of the season, let's look at some of the veteran quarterbacks that you may have on your roster. Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill. What are you looking to get back and recoup for those four guys?
If I suck anything I can. I mean, seriously, you have to know your buyer. And if they have a really big need and those guys are kind of the ones that'll help put them over the top.
One, and this is 12-team Superflex. Everyone has a need at quarterback, especially with all the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yes. But still, I still think some people are going to feel that they have a bigger need than others, honestly. So you've got to just be able to work them against each other and milk it for the most that it's worth. If you get a third, then like I said, I'll turn that third into a second the following year. Or you'll use that third to bump up from your 1.3-ish if you don't sell your one. You know what I mean?
See, I almost think that I'd demand at least a second for any of those four on a Superflex.
I can tell you this. If I'm the buyer, I'm probably not giving it to you unless I really think they put me over the top for a championship. So I think that's a hard sell, honestly. So, but hey, try. I would absolutely try, but I don't know that you can get it.
How about some veteran receivers? We talked about that a little bit earlier. Aging veteran receivers, guys like Keenan Allen or DeAndre Hopkins, or even Brandon Cooks, who has had success everywhere he's ended up. There's talk that he might be traded from Houston. Any of those three guys, I'd say they're probably all high-end wide receiver twos.
Cooks, I'm probably trying to get a second. Again, I don't think that somebody will give you a second because he hasn't done much yet this year, right? Quite honestly.
Yep.
I'd probably be happy to get a third for him, honestly. Hopkins, though, I mean, his first game back, he's pretty much set the bar like, hey, maybe you forgot that he's old, right? Or older. I think that you should try for a first from somebody, first of all. They probably are solid at wide receiver one and two, and he becomes a wide receiver three that gives a wide receiver one upside, and their pick is going to be late, and that's what you have to sell them on. Look, man, your pick's going to be late. It's going to be 110, 11, 12. No, I'm kidding you. You're so good, it's going to be pick 12. It's basically a second-round pick. That's what I would be shooting for DeAndre Hopkins. And I think Keenan Allen too, honestly. I mean, Allen you might have a little more trouble with because – he has had trouble staying healthy at times in his career. However, Mike Williams is out now for the next month and a half, roughly. So you use that as a benefit. And, hey, Keenan's going to be the man, okay? They can't keep feeding Austin Eckler the way they have, and they've only done that because Keenan's been out. So I think you could possibly get a late first. And if not, try for a second and third.
I like that. How about the running back position? Now, obviously, we talked about the elephant in the room with Kyle Pitts. Let's say you're a team that's struggled this season, but you happen to have Christian McCaffrey on your team. What are you commanding for Christian McCaffrey's bounty?
So I think you have to demand a first. Again, you do the same logic I just did, right, about your pick's going to be late. Yes, I know you're going to say, oh, he didn't have that great a game last week. Well, then why do you want him from me, right? You want him because he's in San Francisco where Kyle Shanahan makes – Jeff Wilson look like a good running back, okay? He'll make you, me, Harley look like good running backs. So you have Christian McCaffrey. When he's healthy, he is the best running back on the planet. And in PPR, he's actually one of the best wide receivers on the planet, and you get him all as one player. So no, I don't want a first. Now you made me think about it. I want a first and a third.
Heck, I want two firsts for him.
Try. I don't know that you get it, but I think by trying that and selling it hard like that, first and second, two first, you get your first. Because you've got to be willing to walk away. Never mind. I don't need to sell him. He can at least make me help to spoil a few people's games, hopefully, seasons this year.
Well, how about the guy that's looking like he's going to probably take over for McCaffrey in Carolina, Deonta Foreman?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Foreman from what he showed last year in – Derrick Henry steed. So I made him a few late round gambles in a couple leagues, and it paid off for me this week because I actually had DeAndre Swift out in one league and I think somebody else on a bye, and I was able to plug Deontay Foreman in. I still think I got trounced because my receivers were on byes. Justin Jefferson, thank you. I mean, you're not getting a running back one, I don't think, quite honestly, but you're getting a running back two or a flex that you can use.
I mean, God, it's definitely going to help a contender.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that instance, I'm probably going to use him to try and target a younger wide receiver that's struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get a second round pick for him, or I'm going to try and get multiple picks, like a third and a fifth, a third and a fourth and a fifth, or two thirds one year next and the year year after or something like that. I can't even, like, I don't know why, but it doesn't seem like people are really hot on Jacoby Myers. And I think he's having a pretty good season, quite honestly. You probably could get a Deonta Foreman sold for a Jacoby Myers type, and I would do that deal.
Now let's talk about a couple of veteran running backs who are long in the tooth, so to speak. We mentioned earlier Ezekiel Elliott, but in addition to him, how about, say, an Aaron Jones, who do we really know what his status is going to be next season?
Well, after this week, you can probably sell well with Aaron Jones, considering how little they used A.J. Dillon. But remember, running backs get old fast, right?
Yes.
Real fast. And Aaron Jones, yes, he didn't like eat as much in early in his career because he was getting splitting carries with Jamal Williams and all that kind of stuff, right? But there's no getting around the fact that he is 27 and will be 28 in December. You get whatever you can for him right now. If you can get a second, you're winning. If you can get multiple thirds, you're winning. Because seriously, banking on a running back post 28 years is not something you want to do on a rebuilding team.
How about Zeke?
You know, I'm selling him all day long. Again, same philosophy. You might be able to get a little more based on name recognition. You really have to downsell the Tony Pollard stuff and point to his big games and how Dallas is going to have to use him and find a couple games where you think he can exploit the defenses he's facing. And if you're lucky, you get a second. But, I'm looking for underperforming. I'd use Zeke to get a Breece Hall, something like that. That's a no-brainer.
Is there another player that as a team that is getting ready to sell for the season that you'd be looking to sell maybe, and maybe go into it with that when you're going to look at your team, look at the team and say okay to yourself, you're not going to compete for the next 2 years. Where are each of the players on this roster going to be in their career 2 years from now?
Yes. And that's huge. I used this example, and I was wrong because the player didn't come through. But back when, remember Dante Moncrief when he got drafted by the Colts?
Yeah.
I loved Dante Moncrief as a late first round, early second round draft pick. Why? Because of his destination, right? A lot of the guys that are going to teams when they're drafted high are going to teams that aren't so good. And they had question marks at quarterback, or they had question marks at their head coach or the system that they're using. So that's a thing where in the next 2 years, those windows can change so dramatically and impact that person that when they're older, get what you can if you know you're not going to be contending in that two-year window.
Well, perhaps the best thing about being a seller and not really having much of a prayer of winning this season is you can build for the future. But in addition to that, you can also concentrate more time on trying to make up some of your season-long earnings losses on the daily fantasy side.
I see what you did there. We're transitioning to our DFS segment. For those that don't know, before Harley dies on us and can't talk anymore, we are going to give you our pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays at each of the four skill positions. Harley's going to set an over-under. He and I do not discuss our thoughts or feelings on prices, players, matchups, etc. So this is all going to be brand new for us, like we just happened to run into each other at a bar and started talking. But Harley, good, set the over-under for this week.
It's 5.
Oh, it's under.
It is an ugly week for the main slate for Daily Fantasy this week.
It is ugly. Actually, this is
the week. I really thought last week was going to be bad. This week's is really rotten.
This is a week where you don't have to play DFS, okay? Tell yourself.
Oh, you do. You do have to play DFS. Just, I mean.
No, you don't.
Know that like the winning team is going to have like 120 points this week.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get us started off here. Who are you going to pay up for at the quarterback spot?
I'm going to start off with Tua Tagovailoa at Detroit. Detroit trying to stop this aerial attack. It's going to be silly. There's no way Tua doesn't throw for multiple touchdowns. He's going to top 300 yards here. And the only way that he doesn't do that is if he gets knocked unconscious.
The crazy thing is you're paying up for a guy that's 6,200 and 7,700, and he's the fourth highest priced guy on the board.
That's what we're saying. The players who are out of the slate – It's amazing. You've got the Chiefs and Chargers, two relatively high-end offenses on bye, and then you've got three of the four teams playing on the primetime slate are elite-level offenses. You've got the London game. Yep. That game actually has a couple of duds, but in general, the players who are left, I mean, yeah, you're talking Tua is the fourth highest-priced guy on DraftKings' fifth highest priced guy. I'm sorry, also the fourth highest priced guy on FanDuel too.
Yep. So I'll be honest with you. I looked at Jalen Hurts, wrote him down, crossed him out. Looked at Tua, looked at Tua, wrote him down, crossed him off. Went back to Hurts because I said I'm not paying up for a guy that's $6,200 because that's not paying up. So Hurts definitely a better play at 8,300 on DraftKings than he is, you know, at 9,200 on FanDuel. But give me Hurts coming off of a bye facing a Pitt team that is not good against the pass right now. They've been up the seventh most points to the fantasy quarterback position. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. Now, I'm going to skip around real quick. My value play, I'm like, okay, let's start taking a look here. Marcus Mariota, no, going to cross him out. Geno, no, going to cross him out. DJ, Danny Dimes, no, going to cross him out. Oh, I know, we got one here. DR, who the hell? Oh, DC. Derek Carr. Yeah, no, don't like that matchup either. Matthew Stafford. Nope, crossed him out. I truly wrote down all those names, crossed them out. Landed on Kirk Cousins, circled him, crossed him out, right? Because I'm like, hey, 6,000, 7,200. No, you know what? My value play is Tua Tagovailoa. How's that?
That's I certainly can understand the logic there. Though we're not going to have a match on Stay Away then, my stay away is actually Jalen Hurts.
I had a feeling it might
be. It actually is a decent matchup for Hurts, for much like you said, but for me, the price is just too high.
He's coming
four
up
of the
ball.
Seven quarterbacks to face Pittsburgh have thrown for only one touchdown. And Hurts has only two starts with more than one passing touchdown.
That's okay.
Now, Hurts obviously can get down with his legs. He does have a couple of games with multiple rushing touchdowns, but he is going to need to do that to return the value here.
But I think he does. And I think coming – I actually don't think that he's run as much in the past few weeks as we can expect to see him in the future. And coming off the bye at home, a lot of that Philly fever going on right now, I think that he really steps up big. And by the way, talk about a guy in a tough spot. He's from the Houston area, so it's like he can't lose in the World Series. However, he came out to one of his press conferences wearing a Houston Astros hat. Man, it's like Philly fans have to be a little.
He's going
to
be pelted with batteries.
Yeah, he's that's one reason I almost said no, I'm not going to pay up for him. But my stay away is actually Kyler Murray at Minnesota. Not a horrible matchup. I don't love Kyler Murray going on the road against a team that's coming off a bye with 2 weeks to prepare for him.
Well, that and the Kyler Murray is probably going to be really busy this week playing Call of Duty.
Yes,
with the new rollout this week, so. There's a good chance that he won't be doing his studying hours that he's supposed to do.
There you go. So we got zero matches at the quarterback spot.
Well, let me tell you my value play first,
yes,
now.
Yes, please do.
My value play is insert Panthers starter.
Okay.
As of right now, it's supposed to be P.J. Walker, but there's talk that Baker Mayfield might return. There's talk that Sam Darnold might return. But as of right now, P.J. Walker has been named the quote-unquote starter for Week 8. Atlanta's allowed 15 total touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks this season. Walker just threw for two last week. Obviously, he's going to have a long leash because they may not have anyone else healthy to put in there. Whoever starts for the Panthers will probably throw for two touchdowns, and they're all about the same price. They're all about $5,000 on DraftKings. They're all about $6,400, $6,500 on FanDuel. That's basically bottom of the barrel. Take it and enjoy it.
So the only problem I have with that is there's nobody that ever expected Carolina to beat Tampa Bay, and that's including Carolina. I'm sorry. I don't care what teams say. There's no one that thought they actually could beat Tampa Bay. It was in Carolina. I think that we could see a huge, huge letdown game because of that, quite honestly. So that'd be my biggest concern.
I don't know. Even in a letdown game, it's still Atlanta.
That is true. All right, running back. I think we might be able to match a couple here. Maybe we'll run the table here. I don't know. Who are you paying up for?
So I had a couple options to pay up for here. That's why I'm not sure if we're going to match on this one per se. I looked at the top-end price guys, and there's a couple I like. I ended up settling on Saquon Barkley. Seattle has been assailed by multi-dimensional backs like Javonte Williams, Cordero Patterson, Jamal Williams, Alvin Kamara, Austin Eckler really badly last week. These are the type of players that Saquon similar to, guys that can excel both in the running game and the reception game. So I think he's seeing a monster here against Seattle.
I don't disagree with that play at all. I love Saquon. However, that is not who I paid up for. And you know what? It's probably my MO to say, well, I'm going to pay up for him, but I'm going to save a couple hundred bucks, right?
Yeah.
But I decided to pay up for Derrick Henry. I don't like the $10,000 price point on FanDuel at all.
He's still going to hit three times against Houston.
Yeah, but I would say, but is there a better matchup on the board other than Derrick Henry against? And you know what I might do? I might say, you know what? On DraftKings, play Derrick Henry. On FanDuel, play Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I was trying my hardest to not just choose Derrick Henry. The only thing that concerns me slightly about Derrick Henry is if Tannehill is hurt too much that they need to start Malik Willis in place of him.
Yeah.
Then Houston would be able to key in on Henry even more so.
That is true. And plus, what will he steal with his legs?
It may not matter, though. Again, Houston is abhorrent against the run right now. And
yeah
he's going to hit 30 points, so that 10,000 is not even a problem.
Yep. All right, who are you staying away from? I think we could have a match here.
I went down the board a little bit. I thought about Jonathan Taylor with the news of Sam Ehlinger starting, but I think he's still going to be getting a lot of dink and dunk passes, which he did last week. I sold on Josh Jacobs, whose $9,000 FanDuel price is just wrong. It was affected by last week's three touchdowns. Well, don't chase those touchdowns. This is New Orleans' run defense, not Houston's run defense.
True.
New Orleans has allowed six running back total touchdowns all season, and half of those were actually scored by backup running backs catching receptions. So, I mean, if you want to play a running back in this game, maybe start Brandon Bolden. But, I'm not going to chase Jacobs' three touchdowns, especially not for only $1,000 less than Derrick Henry.
So my computer is giving me problems right now, unfortunately. There we are. Okay. So I went at the top of the list. I'm sorry. Christian McCaffrey had an unceremonious first week, of course, on a short week with San Francisco. But he's got to go on the road, although not far, but he's got to go on the road to, you know, L.A.
Might be a home field advantage for San Francisco there, though.
Yes, that is true. Here's the problem. The Rams, defensively and fantasy-wise, are not giving up big points to the running back position.
That is true.
They are 30th. They're bottom of the barrel. I mean, so just that alone, 87, 8,500, his price is only going to rise if he does start to put up some solid things. But expecting three times value against a matchup like that, in what I believe very well could be a very low-scoring game, 14-17 type, 20, you know, 20-17, 20-14 type game, I'm steering clear of McCaffrey this week.
I tend to agree. And again, his price is the highest on DraftKings. It's not the highest on FanDuel, but it shouldn't be the highest on FanDuel because FanDuel, you only get the half point per reception.
Right. I don't know that we've ever gone through quarterback and running back without matching on one spot. We may have. Not often, though. But that's what we're looking at here. So who's your value play? Let's see if we can get one on the board.
Well, I'm going to choose a guy who was traded out of that backfield. I shouldn't say traded out of that backfield. He was a free agent signee out of that backfield from last year, and that's Raheem Mostert is traveling to Detroit. In full point PPR, 10 different running backs have already reached double-digit fantasy points against the Detroit Lions. Even in half point PPR, 9 of those 10 still hit double-digit points. Now, Mostert has a more than 2-to-1 advantage in total touches over Chase Edmonds this season. And over the last 3 weeks, he's got a 4-to-1 advantage over Edmonds. So this is Mostert's backfield now. He's catching passes. He's running the ball. He's the goal line back. There's no more consternation about who's the back to play there. Whoever faces Detroit on the ground is going to have a big game. That's Mostert.
So the first thing I need to make sure is that I'm not going to give you a guy that's injured or something like that. So let me just make sure here. okay, we're just going to throw it out there, and you can tell me, hopefully, I didn't miss anything. I'm staying in that Atlanta game, and I'm going with the rookie. Give me Tyler Algier.
I like that. He's looked pretty solid in every opportunity he's been given so far.
Yeah, and if you look at the matchup on paper may not look great, and then you look at it again, and you go, oh, wait a minute. Carolina's given up the 8th most points. There's a top 10 matchup for a running back. And I just think that people will miss that for some reason. So I want to be able to buy down as much as I can at running back and quarterback this week, honestly, because as we go over to wide receiver, you're soon to see why. So let's do it. Let's run over to wide receiver.
Okay. Looking at wide receiver really quickly, who are you paying up for?
I'm paying up for everybody. Everybody not named my stay away, quite honestly. I can make an argument for paying up for Davante Adams. I can make an argument for paying up for A.J. Brown. I can make an argument for paying up for Tyreek Hill. I can make an argument for paying up for Justin Jefferson. So I'm paying up for everybody. How's that? I want to get two of these guys in my lineup if I can. But if I have to pick one that I think is a little bit safer than all the ones I've said, I'd say it's Davante Adams. So that's what I'll say I'm paying up for. But I got no problem trying to fit two of those other guys in my lineup.
I 100% agree. I am absolutely paying up for two guys myself. But the guy that I settled on for the purposes of this exercise is Tyreek Hill. Again, I'm going to attack that Detroit defense. Yep. CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson are the only wide receiver ones to not post huge games against Detroit's defense. I liked Tua Tagovailoa enough to make him my pay-up quarterback, so I might as well stack him with his top receiver, and that's Tyreek Hill.
Yep. I don't hate it. You know that. I gave you four guys that I have no problem doubling up with. But that's why I want to pay down at running back and quarterback, because I would like to get two of those guys in my lineup.
But you did mention one of the guys that in your conversation that I'm going to stay away from.
Yeah, probably JJ. It's not the best matchup in the world, but I love it coming out of the bye, quite honestly, and being at home.
He is the guy I'm staying away from. And as I've been saying all year, Arizona is bad against the pass, but they have absolutely stifled opposing wide receiver ones. They are allowing an average of 4 catches and 56 yards to opposing wide receiver ones, giving up only 2 touchdowns to wide receiver ones, and one of those came on a reverse run. And this wasn't against stiff wide receiver ones. This has come against a group that includes Cooper Kupp, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and Davante Adams. We're talking 4 wide receivers on par, if not better, than Justin Jefferson. So, yeah, I mean, $9,100, $9,000, those prices are way too high. Yes, he is at home. Yes, he is coming off a bye. But if you need to go with a offensive weapon for the Vikings this week, I would say shade away from Justin Jefferson. Consider Adam Thielen, K.J. Osborne, and perhaps tight end Irv Smith instead.
So, I get it. But I'm not going to stay away from JJ when he's 91-9, when Cooper Kupp's 96-93. Not against the San Francisco defense, not coming off of a bye. I'm sorry. I do have concerns about Matthew Stafford right now. This is one of those weeks where, yeah, Kupp's probably going to do a decent job for you on your normal redraft stuff. I'm not expecting big week and definitely not expecting 3 times value.
Who's your value play?
I had trouble with my value play, probably because I'm so infatuated getting 2 of those guys that I said in my lineup. At the end of the day, I looked at it matchup-wise, and I went with a guy that I think has a good matchup. He is definitely a risky play, but I think it's an all-or-nothing play. It's Nico Collins against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans have given up more fantasy points than any team not named the Pittsburgh Steelers this year to wide receivers.
Now, I did hear something about some sort of injury with Nico, but I'm not totally sure what it is.
Of course you did. Let's see what I can find. Go ahead. Tell me who your value play is going to be.
I'm actually going to the well for the second straight week with a guy who is on the up come right now, and that's Wandale Robinson of the New York Giants. He's facing the Seattle Seahawks. You know what? I think this game's going to be kind of a secret shootout. I think both teams are going to score 25, 26 points. We'll probably hit whatever Vegas gives for a final line. I think we're going to hit the over in it. And Wandale has really emerged as the most reliable receiving option for Daniel Jones, especially with their tight end Daniel Bellinger now expected to miss a few weeks with an injury of his own.
So, yes, he's got a groin. Nico Collins has a groin injury.
I did not see how serious it was. So.
It was serious enough to put him out for the rest of the game. And I missed that because, of course, I was watching the Phillies. beat the San Diego Padres in the NLCS, for those that missed it. So I'll tell you this. If I have to pick another guy to run in there, if he's out, okay, if he's out for some reason, I'll pay up a little bit more money, and I'll make DJ Moore against Atlanta my value play. How's that?
Atlanta's secondary is horse bleep. And so, yes, that's a good pick.
Yep. Okay, who is going to...
I wanted to say the full version of that, but I refrained.
Yes, it's a good thing you refrained. I think that we could get in trouble. I don't know that we always do, but I think we could. In any event, we are 0-0. We are 0-9. We're like Grisham for the Padres in the NLCS. I think he was 0-17 and decided to try and bunt and went 0-18. I don't know. In any event, can we get some matches at tight end?
Possibly.
We're definitely not getting the over. Under's hit.
I'm going to pay up for Zach Ertz at Minnesota. Opposing tight end groups are averaging 5 catches and 62 yards against Minnesota with 4 total touchdowns. Listen to these lines. The first group to face them had basically, like, I'm looking at this here. The worst tight end group against them had 4 catches for 40 yards. That was the worst group against them.
Right. So I had a tough time here because I like Ertz's matchup. I get it. I don't like that they're coming off, Minnesota's coming off a bye. And I'm like, well, my God, he's $5,100. Like, that's not really paying up, right? Can't trust Darren Waller, even if it was a fantastic matchup. Taysom Hill doesn't have a DraftKings price, so I kind of default can't use him, right? But then Zach Ertz is $6,000 on FanDuel. So I was like, well, okay, I'll split it. So we got a half match at least. I'm paying up for Zach Ertz on DraftKings, and I'm paying up for Taysom Hill on FanDuel.
Yeah, Taysom Hill only qualifies as a quarterback on DraftKings due to
yeah.
reasoning that no one quite understands. But Taysom Hill only qualifies as a tight end on FanDuel, so you kind of have to choose your thing. It's going to be hard to start Taysom Hill at any point on DraftKings as a quarterback,
yeah.
other than in maybe a showdown format. So, yeah, you're kind of looking at Ertz as the best option there. I mean, Hill at 6,500. But even that, when you think at Ertz price, you said 5,100. That's still the third highest price on DraftKings.
I know, it's crazy, right? So remember I said I wanted to pay down a quarterback and running back so I could get those wide receivers in? I'm going to pay down a tight end too, so I'm probably going to wind up not putting Zach Ertz in many lineups, honestly. Who are you staying away from? Same guy I'm staying away from. This is definitely a match.
The top price guy here we're going to match on this is George Kittle.
Yep.
The Rams are actually really tough against the tight end position, so even though Kittle has played better of late, this isn't the best spot for him.
Nope.
I also think that the presence of Christian McCaffrey for a full game is going to eat into Kittle's targets some. So, yeah, I mean, you're not really paying up for anyone at tight end this week other than maybe Ertz, because all the top price guys are kind of in questionable spots. I mean, Goddard's got an okay matchup with Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh, yeah. they haven't given up a ton to the position.
Right.
TJ Hockenson is facing Miami. Tight end is actually one of their stronger positions. Higby in San Francisco.
There was just again, nothing. There was nothing. Yeah,
Kyle Pitts is the 8th highest priced guy in DraftKings, and
yeah.
I doubt anyone's going to trust him.
Right, exactly. There's just all those guys, there's enough to not love, right, about them. So I almost played this card. My pay up was almost my value play, but I decided to go Ertz and Hill instead. My value play is Irv. You mentioned him earlier. I love Irv. If we're going to pick a matchup out of these tight ends, I'd like Daniel Bellinger, but like you said, he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
He's got a fantastic matchup. Irv's only a couple $100 more and $100 more on FanDuel. So Irv at home off a bye against a very bad Arizona team. They've given up the second most points to the tight end position. By the way, the Rams that Kittle's facing, nobody's given up fewer points than they have.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have our second match here. Irv Smith is the guy to play. And here's a wrestling reference for our fans of professional wrestling, including Eric Young, who was a guest on our show a couple years ago. Arizona versus tight ends would be like a match between Hornswoggle going up against the Big Show, and the rules of the match were you don't get the win unless you body slam your opponent. Arizona's Hornswoggle, tight ends are the Big Show. Opposing tight end rooms are averaging 7 catches for 79 yards against this defense. They've allowed 6 total tight end touchdowns so far. I mean, at this point, I would even consider looking at guys like Johnny Munt and Ben Ellison, the depth tight ends for the Vikings here.
There you go. And yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see one of those guys score too, actually. Outside of those guys, though, it's ugly at tight end. I mean, seriously. Hunter Henry, don't love that matchup. Dalton Schultz, don't love that matchup. Do you want?
I kind of like, Will Disley maybe against the Giants at home.
Yeah, I like Juwan Johnson, but can you really trust him? I like the matchup more than I like the player right now with how he's being used.
Yep.
Foster Moreau, no thank you. Can't trust it. Don't like the matchup, honestly. So it's like, it really is. It's kind of ugly. You're not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe keep an eye on, see who ends up replacing Daniel Bellinger for the Giants at tight end.
Yeah, that's an option.
I think it's like Chris Myrick or something like that. Is their fullback, H-back type?
Yep. I mean, Cole Kmet, you're not going to trust that matchup.
No, not at all.
So it's pretty ugly. Even Mo Alley Cox, I like him every now and then. He doesn't have a great matchup.
And he splits targets with both Jelani Woods and
right.
Kyler Granson too.
So if he doesn't get hit pay dirt, then you're going to not hit any kind of thing with him. So there you go. It's been a tough week. I'm giving us 2.5 matches on Ertz. But yeah, definitely not a very good week for us, but it's also just that ugly of a week DFS-wise. So, yeah, some lower scores might make some better opportunities for people. Who knows? We'll see. Make sure that if you have any questions, one thing that Harley can do when he's sick is he can answer you on Twitter without losing his voice. Follow him at Nuclear Harley. You can follow me in between my Philly tweets at Steve Gallo NFL. It's not going to be changed to Steve Gallo MLB or Steve Gallo Fightin' PHI or anything like that. So you can follow me there. And then, of course, if you haven't done so yet, get off your rear end and sign up for thehuddle.com. And as always, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.